Okay. We spent some time in the beginning of the Sefer. We're going to get back to that. I'm analyzing the different approaches to Cheskas Gimel Shanim, the Raya of Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Last week, I wanted to apply the different perspectives to its corollary, one might say, which is the Macha, the ability of the Marakama to prevent a Chazaka from taking place. Now, again, you have this dispute between two people about who is the real owner of a piece of karka. The Marakama says, I can prove that I was the owner and I still am. And the Machzik, the person who's living in the karka, he claims that it belongs to him. So the Mishnah on Chav Chesem Aleph, that's what we were discussing, tells us that if he's in the karka for 3 years, even though he doesn't have a shtar, if he had a shtar or Edim, then there would be no issue. He could prove right away that he was the owner. If he has no shtar, no Edim, but 3 years have elapsed, and there's been no challenge to the position of the machzik, so then he'll be declared victor in this struggle for credibility between machzik and marakam. And we were discussing the various ways to understand what that institution of Cheskas Gimel Shanim is based on. Last week we began to analyze, I say, the corollary of this, which is the dinei mecha'a. What are the rules of challenging the chazaka? And it's clear that the nature, the requirements, the character of Mecha is certainly inherently connected to the nature of the Chazaka. You want to break up the Chazaka by means of the Mecha, so obviously these are two sides of the same coin. So last week we began to discuss some of the issues, and I want to continue with that right now. So again, the main sugyas dealing with this, the Gemara is on Lamed Ches Omen Aleph through Mem Omen Aleph. So just again to get us back to where we were, the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Omen Aleph establishes that there's a major machlokas Tanaim about Mecha, and again by extension about Chazaka. Shalosh Haratzos LeChazaka Yehuda VeBar Yarden VeHagalim Oya BeYehuda VeHitzik BeGalim BeGalim VeHitzik BeYehuda. So the Tanakama tell us that in order for a chazaka to be effective, the Marakama and the Machzik have to be in the same, broadly speaking, in the same geographic location. If the Marakama is too distant from the Machzik, so we can't presume that he heard about the chazaka, and therefore there can be no chazaka if he doesn't have the opportunity, by virtue of the fact that he hasn't heard about it, he doesn't have the opportunity to be moach. Already the Mishnah is telling us a double, in the Tanakama, the Mishnah is telling us essentially a double chiddush. One is a pragmatic chiddush, and the other is a legal chiddush. The pragmatic chiddush is that it's conceivable that even after 3 years, right, a person can be distant enough that he won't hear that somebody's in his karka, or at least he won't hear with the opportunity also to respond. That's a practical question, which is either true or not true, or at least the threshold of how true it is, therefore what legal impact it has, is something which could probably be established or determined. The second Kiddush, which is more important, and which is largely undisputed, is that if you don't have the capacity to hear of the Chazaka, and to be or to be Mocha in timely fashion, then there is no chazaka. Chazaka is contingent upon the possibility of a mecha. Without the potential of a mecha, there is no chazaka. That's the legal kiddush of the Tanakhama. Now that seems to be accepted by Rabbi Yehuda, that second point as well, even though he disagrees with the first point. Mishnah says, Am Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru shalosh shanim, ela kedei sheyehei ba'aspamya, biyachzik shana, Yelchu v'yodiuhu shana v'yavo l'shana acheres. This is said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, wherever you are, pretty much, there's always a chazaka of Gimel Shanim. Because even if you're in some far-flung place like Aspamia, like Spain, right, so let's say the guy's living in squatting for a year so that people will take him seriously, then the word is going to get back to you. It's going to take a year for him to be in the to be machzik. It's going to take a year for you to hear about the chazaka, and there's still a year for you to respond and for him to hear your response. And therefore, even if they're not Osa Medina, says Rabbi Yehuda, there's still a din of Gimel Shanim. The Rishonim debate whether this means practically any place on earth and any conditions. We believe that there, you know, this 3-year window is always sufficient for hearing about a chazaka and responding to it. Or even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that, you know, if somebody's very, very distant, if they break down in communication, I'm not sure that you can't communicate in jail, but right, let's say, if the circumstances are very extreme, will Rabbi Yehuda agree that we break this low plug of 3 years? So that seems to be an argument. The Meiri Alatar says, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, he just thinks that you don't have to be Bosa Medina. But if he's, as you say, in jail, assuming that that's a communication problem, or there is some unusual circumstance where even Rabbi Yehuda, right, would be challenged, you know, by a 3-year period, then Inochanami Rabbi Yehuda might agree with the Chacham. Okay, now, that's the argument of the Mishnah. The truth is that when you analyze the Machlokes Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, it's already a little bit intriguing. Is this about low plug? Is it a pragmatic argument about how conceivable it is that somebody wouldn't hear and be able to respond in timely fashion within 3 years? Or is there more of a fundamental debate here, one which affects the second legal question a little bit, even though it zeroes in on the first question mostly? And that is when in doubt, that's how much certainty do you require, or how much likelihood do you require in order to side with the machzik in this case? I mean, basically what we're saying is that according to the Chachamim, unless we know that the machzik and the marakama are the Medina Achas, so there can be no chazak. That puts the machzik at a distinct disadvantage because he's living in the karka, he's living there, and she's doing everything that he's supposed to do. And nonetheless, you know, he's not going to win the karka. And again, it's not so bad, we have to keep perspective. He can always hold on to his star knowing that the marakama is in a distant place. It's not that he has no options. But nonetheless, this is something which, at least the Chachamim's view, is something which puts pressure on the machzik. Is it fair to say that the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim isn't so much a practical question, how likely is it, but what I referred to before, it's a threshold issue. How likely does it need to be, right, for us to side with the machzik or side with the marakama? In other words, maybe the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is an argument who really is in the greater position of strength, the makom safek. Maybe the Chachamim are always saying that the burden of proof, and this is something that comes up again and again in these topics, the burden of proof is really on the machzik. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying, not really, the burden of proof is really on the marakama. The truth is, I'm not going to go into right now, but there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim here, whether there aren't several other side issues in which Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim seem to disagree. And if you ask me, there might be a pattern to some of those disagreements. For example, it's possible that they argue about the question whether mecha, shelo b'fanav, have a mecha or lo have a mecha. It's possible that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that mecha, shelo b'fanav, lo have a mecha. And the Chachamim think mecha, shelo b'fanav, have a mecha. Now again, that's the question whether or not the marakama, having heard that the machzik is in the karka, is he obligated, you know, to drop everything and, you know, confront him face to face and accuse him of being a squatter or a trespasser? Or is it sufficient that he, you know, call a mini press conference, you know, which we'll get to today, the three people, or not a press conference, simply to aid him, and declare, you know, in their presence that he intends to challenge the machzik? Now, obviously, that's an interesting argument. That's something that stands on its own. We'll get back to it before the day is over, hopefully. But it's conceivable that one way to look at this question is in terms of the relative strength or weakness of Barakama and Machzik. Now, it's possible that the Chachamim, who to begin with, are more, would say, in line with the interests of the Marakaba here. Like, I don't mean there's anything in it for them. I'm talking about the way they perceive the halachic balance of power between them. They're already arguing that the burden of evidence is on the machzik, that if they're not ba'osa ha-medina, then the machzik will never have a chazaka. Right? So they're already displaying, let's say, a perspective in which the marakama is in a stronger position. For them to also say, the chachamim, mecha shelo b'fanav, have a mecha, any mecha that he does is good enough for us. He doesn't have to drop everything and run back to confront the machzik, would be consistent with that idea. On the other hand, the position of Rabbi Yehuda is that the machzik is in a stronger position. And on the contrary, 3 years, no matter where the marakama is, there could be a presumption of chazaka. And if we know for a fact that he didn't hear, maybe that's also fine, since the potential is there for him to hear. And by the same token, even when the marakama is making a mecha, maybe it's necessary that he should do so that the machzik can respond. In other words, maybe the balance of power is really the issue between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. There are other issues to contend with as well. For example, the Rashbam already in the Mishnah notes that there's another position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara Mem Aleph, Amin Aleph, is of the opinion that a chazaka, which is lifnei hamarakama, is effective la'alter. That's Mem Aleph Amin Aleph. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. If the marakama is present ba'osa medina, but not just that, ba'osa makom, and we know for a fact that he physically witnesses the trespasser, or from his point of view, the trespasser in his field, and he says nothing. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chazaka is loud. Again, Rashbam, if you look at the last Rashbam in the Mishnah, he makes reference to this. So the Mishnah says, the Rashbam says, Lachlok ba. Rabbi Yehuda here is arguing with the Chachamim. The Lomar is saying the Einan Chalukas L'Chazaka. The different geographic domains, right, do not matter when it comes to Chazaka. The Hayy Begalav Yichzak B'Yehuda also have a Chazaka. Afilo Hayy Baspam Yeshu Rokok Malach Shana Meretz Yisrael Yichzak Meretz Yisrael have a Chazaka. Even Spain, which is more distant, obviously, than Galil from Yehuda, or Yehuda from Galil, even there can be a muchzakos. Even though it takes a year for the Shmua to get there. Sharei, l'kach erichu, shnei chazakas, man ruba, shel shaloshanim. Kidei shiur, what we have already calculated in, is shim ayiv aspamya, v'myachzik zebekarka shaloshana, v'betok shana rishona yatsa hakol, yelchu b'shana shniya, v'yodi'u l'baal hakarka, v'shana shlishis yabo v'yimche. Then the Rashbam goes on to say, v'begemar v'farish, iboi Rabbi Yehuda milcha v'fanav alo. The Gemara has a discussion whether or not Rabbi Yehuda requires mecha in the presence of the machzik, which I say would be a kula for the machzik and a chumra for the marakama. The yosem imalach shana ain derech adam laharchik mibeso. Fine. Liyafia hoved teknu. Why did they make this takana according to Rabbi Yehuda 3 years? Let's say he's not living, you know, it's not that the chazaka is in Galil and the machzik and the marakama is in Spain. Let's say, one is in Queens and the other one is in Brooklyn. It doesn't take a whole year to hear about the chazaka. Maybe we should have a 4 month chazaka then, or a year chazaka, right? So basically, the Rashbam is explaining that lefi ahoved tiknu. It's a kind of low plug. Then he adds, the Talmud Rabbi Yehuda lo mishum v'tlas shanim nizarinish b'shtare. He says, the basis of chazaka according to Rabbi Yehuda is not the view of Rava in the Gemara Nechav Tesem and Aleph, which we read and discussed extensively, which is that 3 years is the shiur for holding on to a shtar. Now, this Rashbam just initiates here. Why? How do we know why? Isn't that a good explanation for Rabbi Yehuda of the shiur of Gimel Shanim? Ella kin mifarish kidei sheyeh. Rather, it's The 3 years is the shiur that we discuss in the Mishnah. Why are those incompatible? So he explains. The time of the chazaka l'didev to lo shavik inish da'ach loa la'are below reshuse ve'apilu sha'achas v'shasik helekach harichu gimel shanim shepa'am hayim ha'ar rachok aval yihava ma'arer be'ir hava chazaka miyad k'daminu l'kamam b'pirkin. This is reference to the Rabbi Yehuda Memala from Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's b'fanav, then it's la'alter hava chazaka. So the Rashbam says, if the reasoning behind shtar, I'm sorry, the reasoning behind Gimel Shanim was his dar, his b'shtare, then it really shouldn't matter whether or not he's maxik b'fanav or not. Either way, it should be Gimel Shanim. How can Rabbi Yehuda say that maxik b'fanav is la'alter? But if shtikas marakama is the basis for cheskas hamachzik, so then we understand that there might be a difference between b'fanav and shelo b'fanav. So shelo b'fanav, we have a low pluk. It doesn't matter if you're in Queens and Brooklyn, or if you're in Galil and Spain. Either way, the shear is always going to be 3 years. But if it's actually b'fanav, so there Rabbi Yehuda will say there's no low pluk under those conditions, b'fanav, that's a clear shear that everybody understands, and therefore there'll be an immediate chazaka. But had he held his Zoris Mishtare as opposed to Shtikas Marakama, he wouldn't have held this way. The Rama disagrees. The Ad Rama on the spot here in the Mishnah quotes this Rashbam. He said, I think it's wrong. May Olam Lo Matsinu that anybody disagrees with Rava, which is interesting because the way the Rashbam is suggesting for Rabbi Yehuda is actually an interpretation in Rava too. The Ramban, the Rashba, some of the issues that we've discussed already. But the Rama says, Izarnish Bishtari is an icon. No one can disagree with Izarnish Bishtari. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah, is not going to disagree either, because Rava said it for all the Tanai, basically. That's the Rama. So he says, so what? How do you explain La'alter Havachazaka? Right? How can there ever be La'alter Havachazaka if it's based on is Darnish Bishtare? So the Rama says something very important, which we actually have seen already. We saw the Rashba said it on Chaptes and Aleph. The Rama actually gets the credit. He said it earlier than the Rashba. He develops the following idea. He said this idea of is Darnish Bishtare, of people holding on to their shtaros for 3 years, right? It's not some arbitrary time frame, like, you know, clutter. For 3 years, people hold on to a shtar and not beyond. Rather, is the Rama's argument, it is a function of the expectation of a mecha. Most people will hold on to their shtaros for a while because they don't know whether or not there's going to be a challenge, right? There may be some issue, and they have to be armed with the evidence. As time goes on, right, and it's quiet, and no one seems to be raising any kind of serious objections, so then, develops a measure of confidence, which allows people to, to clean out their rooms and to get rid of their old shtaros. But that's always going to be a sliding scale. The standard is 3 years, all things being equal. But in theory, there can be a sliding scale. Sometimes you can get rid of your shtaros in a month. When? Let's say you've had a particularly dramatic, confrontation, in which if there was ever going to be a challenge, it would have been leveled right then and there. Let's say the marakama, right, is present when you're being machzik bakarka. How is he going to explain his silence, right, if in fact his claim is correct that he's the exclusive owner and the seller of the fellow's trust? How is he going to explain that right in front of him is taking place and he's not objecting to anyone, he's not issuing any kind of challenge? So that is the argument of the Rama. The Rama says, really, Izarnish Bishtare is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda as well. But when you have such unusual circumstances, the Izarnish Bishtare is immediate, it doesn't take 3 years. That's how the Rashba explained the Gemara later on. And the Gemara Nun of the Beis says, talks about a case of a husband and a wife. Normally a husband and a wife, there's no chazaka zeh al zeh, because it's understood that, each one even if he doesn't own the other person's property, is going to be spending time in that property. And therefore, you don't expect this kind of challenge. So normally, if a husband is in his wife's the property that used to belong to his wife, or vice versa, ein kazaka ze al zu or zu al ze. That's the normal rule. However, the Gemara has a certain case where it seems that there is a chazaka. The husband is able to create a chazaka in his wife's, in the property that used to belong to his wife. So the Gemara says it's talking about a case where the husband started doing construction in the property. He started changing the property itself. So the Ramban has a different interpretation of that Gemara, but the Rajba and many Rishonim interpret that Gemara means that there's an immediate chazaka. Why? So the Rajba has this exact same explanation. Even though the basis of chazaka is Zar Inish Bishtare, and there's always Ach Bishtare, there's always a Reis, so why didn't you have the Shtar until that point of 3 years? That's in a normal case, when 3 years is the allotted time for an expected challenge, an anticipated challenge. But if somebody is involved in provocative behavior in your presence and your silence, right? So not only is that silence more significant as a reisa against him, it also is a green light for you to be secure and not to have to hold on to your sharos. Because if you're going to object, you should be objecting based on your provocative behavior immediately. So that's the idea of the Rambam. Moving back for a minute, according to the Rashbam, it turns out that there are three issues that separate Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. One is the question of can you have a chazaka if it's the Marakama and the Maksik are not the Osa Medina, right? Second is Mecha Shalom Bafanav, Hava Mecha, Lo Hava Mecha. And the third is, can it be an immediate chazaka, right? Bafanav, Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and the Chacham say no. And the Rashbam thinks that that is the yesod of an argument about how Cheskas Gimel Shanim works. Is it based on Shtikas Marakama? Or is it based on his Dor and his Bishar? So the point is, and there are several other issues as well, which I'm not going to go into right now, it's quite possible that once we start building up, three, I can actually point to six or seven possible issues which Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham disagree, so then we might want to look for a pattern, like what's going on here. How can they argue about 3 to 7 different issues? And maybe the pattern is exactly what we're talking about. Who is in a stronger position fundamentally? Is the Machzik able to establish a chazaka as long as he doesn't have reyesas? Or is the Marakama's previous chazaka so powerful that he's always in a position of strength until the Machzik is able to prove a chazaka? Yeah?
Can there be a claim other than the Marakama? So what I'm moving to it today. Today you buy a house, you buy title insurance. I think it will be a halakhic matter, we should buy title insurance for 3 years only. There should be a claim after that. But title insurance is bought, it goes far beyond the Marakama. Someone else comes,
right,
appears, and he says, it's mine, a mir, whatever. Is there halakhically such a claim against a musak? So not necessarily
no.
A Marakama.
Only somebody who can establish one way or another that he is a previous owner. And if somebody makes a claim, but he has no, other than his word, he has no
heir. Heir claims he's an heir.
He claims what?
He's an heir.
But an heir is a real claim. It can be a real mark. He'd have to prove he was an heir. He'd have to prove that his relative, who subsequently is deceased, owned the property. So then he would be proving that that person, that Morish, was the Marakama. But you cannot get away without some sort of edus, or shtar, or hodas balbin from the machzik, that at some point the person who you're claiming for, it could be the morish, was the real Marakama. If you just come to court and you say I challenge him based on a taina bialma without any evidence, that doesn't work. We throw him out. He has to establish his Marakama status, and those are three ways that he can do it. Yeah.
How the Rashbam assumed to finish anyone who would be marked right away? I mean, the Gemara seems to present Beit Baal Yashuv as an exception.
Right. But Beit Baal Yashuv is a situation where he hears about the chazaka. What we're talking about in Rabbi Huda is the question of here. It's this line on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, that where we know that the machzik is actually that the marakama is present when the chazaka is taking place. That's not Bar Baal Yashuv. Bar Baal Yashuv means if he would even hear that somebody's in his property, he would respond immediately.
Right. What we're saying now is that anyone who hears would respond immediately.
There's no low plug issue for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that this is true for anyone. Like Baruch Shichun Umaros.
Right, anyone would say that if he knows right away, he should be. Muslim.
Not if he knows right away, if he is present,
right,
because of so greater provocation.
That he should be Mocha immediately.
If he witnesses, he encounters the Machzik in his property.
So he hears about it, then.
Hearing about it isn't the same. Presumably. Depends. There are machlokes to show them what b'fun of really means. Is it a little bit b'fun of, or does it mean b'al sahir, or is it mahalach yom echad? Whatever that is, whatever that shear is. We don't pass it like Rabbi Yehuda, but this is Rabbi Yehuda's
shear. Whatever the shear is, we're assuming that when you know, whether it's by seeing or by knowing indirectly,
but it's
you
not
mocha right away, which is what the Gemara presents Beit Baal Yashuv as.
No. We're not saying that. Let's say you live, according to everybody, if you're not the Osair, and you're not the Mahalach Yom Echad, that's not called the Fana for Rabbi Yehuda. And by the way, it's this line in the Gemara, let me just make it clear. The Gemara here on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph says, Omar Lai Kiman Krav Yehuda for Rabbi Shema, the Amri called the Fana of La'alter Havachazaka. That's the line that I'm kind of referring to. And then if you look at the Rajbam here, the Rajbam says, Kirab Yehuda, the Masnissan, the Talitam, the Gimushanim Kadesh Yeba Spam Yashan of Achulai, Ha'im Karov Betoch Malach Yom, that's how he interprets the fun of, within a 1 day distance, Sheyucha Leda Miyad Kishieda, the Lo Yimcha Tia Chazaka. That's his view. But presumably, if it's, if he's 2 days away, or according to other Rishonim, the ear acheret, even when he hears about it, because he is somewhat distant, we don't expect the same kind of violent response. Or because it's a low plug issue. That's my focus Rishonim. Now some Rishonim will say, really, it should have been, this is Tosefta actually, look at Tosefta very quickly. Base Aleph in the back. Tosefta says as follows. Perek Beis, right, page 2 in the Tosefta in the back. Kol she'ena osa peros tadir, by any field which is not constantly producing peros, he on sada beis ha-shlachin, the beis ha-bal, chetzkasa gimel shana ve'ena b'yom liyom. Fine. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo amru gimel shana melech kadei she'ba ba'aspamya, avlin hoya imo b'medina, kivin she'achla shana achas, Hare ze chazaka. This is a very controversial Tosefta. Some of them quote it. What does he seem to be saying? That the shear is a year. So, if you look at the Tosefta, it would seem that Rabbi Yehuda is just totally flexible, which is what you're suggesting. As soon as he hears about it, he should be responding. And if he doesn't, then he loses. Most Rishonim think that that's not really the position of Rabbi Yehuda. They have different gears on the Tosefta. I'm not sure what they do with this Tosefta. If you listen to Tosefta, you wonder why it's a year. Maybe because the Mishnah says, Kedei sheyachzik shana achas, and then the Shemua shegavah. If somebody's very distant, the yachzik shana achas is part of the idea of getting the Shemua out there. If he's, a week away, then it shouldn't take a shana, so why isn't it a 3-month chazaka or a 4-month chazaka? Or maybe it's a minimum or increments of a year for low plug. I don't know. It just seems that according to Tosefta, Rabbi Huda's view is very, very flexible. But most Rishonim think that it's not. So it's either low plug or it's the provocation of being present is part of the equation here. And if you're a little more distant, So you're a little more, I don't know if you're more tolerant, but at least your response is going to be different. That's the question. Okay. Is there another question? So that's the Mishnah. So it's a very interesting Mishnah. I say there are more issues about Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rav Haigon, in his Sefer Mekach HaMemkar, denies that there's even a basic argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. He just thinks that they're talking about different cases. It really isn't the Machlokes at all, which is certainly against the book chat.
I see, but we're putting time frames on a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
Is there a time frame on Chavra Chavra Islay? How long should that take?
Well, that's...
How time should we give that?
Right. So we're assuming that's all within this year, or all within that three-year frame. But we're going to get to that in just a minute. We're assuming that all come back, all the Chavra Chavra works within, from beginning, from the moment of the beginning of the Chazakah, till the Chavra Chavra get back, it doesn't take them longer than 3 years. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, and that's what we accept lahalacha. That's exactly correct. Now, if it does, what will be, that'll be the case. So the Gemara here says, Ma'ika Sefer Tanakama, Ika Sefer Mecha Shalom B'Fanav Ha'ba Mecha, Filu Yehuda V'Gal El Nami, Ika Sefer Mecha Shalom B'Fanav La'ba Mecha, Filu Yehuda V'Yehuda Nami Lo. So the Gemara basically says, listen, what do you want from us here? If you hold long distance Mecha is fine, I'm on the Gemara here, Lamed Chesam Aleph, I just want to go through some of these Gemaras because they are very critical to our topic. If Mechash Shalom B'Fanav works, then what's the problem with Yehuda and Galil? Right? And if it doesn't work, then Yehuda v'Yehuda shouldn't work either, because we're not talking about next door neighbors. We're talking about still quite a distance. So the Gemara says, Amrav Abba Bar Mamba, Amrav, Olam Kesavar Mechash Shalom B'Fanav Abba Mechah, Mishnah Seinu B'Shas Cherem Shanu. We're talking about a time where there's a breakdown in communications due to a war or something like that. So why do we talk about geography if we're really talking about politics or war? So the Gemara says, "Kamash milan, the stam Yehuda v'Galut kashas cheirum dam." We already learned last week. We discussed two issues. One is, what is the relationship between mechal shalom b'fanav have a mecha and the question of chazaka shalom b'fanav have a chazaka? It's one question. The second question, the question that Tosfos deals with here on Dibur Maskil Tesam, what is the relationship between the kind of shmua and access of b'fanai nechta megitin, as opposed to chabra chabra islay? And what I try to explain in both of these, and a third, which we'll get to again in a minute, which is lashon hara, is that the question is, are we dealing with the same criteria in all three cases? Are we talking about practically 100% effectiveness? Are we talking about 30% effectiveness, 60%? What are we really talking about here? It's not necessarily the case that the status of Eden Mitzuyim Lakaimo in B'Fanei Nechtam or Galuyim Mefursam in Lashon Hara are the proper models for Chavra Chavra Yisrael. It depends very much on what we want to accomplish by means of the Mecha. And this is what we're going to be pursuing just a little bit more this evening. If the basis of Cheskas Gimel Shanim is Shtikas Marakama, that's really the basis of it all. The fact that the Marakama is not responding as a real owner, his silence, right, is indicative of his lack of credibility. So then, all we need in the Mecha is to negate that silence. As long as we know that he's responding and that he's, you know, reacting the way a real owner should, the effectiveness of his response, especially if that's out of his hands, should not be a problem. On the other hand, if we focus on Mizdar Rinish Mishdare, if we say the Machzik is in control, he's going to win the case. The only thing that will lose the case for him is Ach Mishdare, where's your star? And the only way to extend Ach Mishdari beyond 3 years is if he knows that he's being challenged. So then he has to know that there's a Mecha. If he doesn't know, as much as the Marakama is responding as expected for an owner, it's still not going to help you to extend the period of Ach Mishdara for the Machzik. So then everything depends on Shmias HaMachzik rather than Mechas HaMarakama. And that's... If that's true, then the model of the Fanei Nechtam or Lashon Hara, these might not be appropriate models anymore, depending on which of these two perspectives you take. Now, the Gemara itself discusses the following. You'll see how it all works. Am Rav Yudah Marav, Ein machzikin b'nichsei boreach. You can't establish a chazaka in the property of someone who had to run away, a fugitive. So the Gemara says, Kiamrisa kameh d'shmuel amali b'chilimkos b'fanu v'tzar. What's the problem? Is the fugitive not capable of making a bacha from his, you know, distant refuge? Right? After all, bacha doesn't need the presence of the machzik. He has to have to come back to the jurisdiction from which he fled in order to respond properly. So why is there no chazaka b'nichsei boreach? So the Gemara says, Rav mai kamashman, mecha shalom b'fanav lo hava mecha. So is Rav telling us that hinachanami, mecha shalom b'fanav is not a mecha, you need a mecha b'fanav, and therefore in the case of boreach, it's not a chazaka sheniteneth l'mecha. But amar Rav mecha shalom b'fanav hava mecha. We know that Rav is of the opinion that long distance mecha really does work. So again, what's the problem with nichsei boreach? So the Gemara says, Rav tama, the Tana didan kamavarishle, velelo svirole. Rav is repeating the position of someone else. He himself happens to believe b'chol shlo b'fan of habim b'chol. Fine. Ikad amri am Rav Yudah Marav, machzikim nichsei boreach, kermisa kameh d'shmuel, amarli, pshita, isn't it obvious that machzikim nichsei boreach? B'chilimchos b'fan of utzarech, what would be the problem of nichsei boreach? That you need him to actually be present to be mocha, and he can't be present because he's on the run. That's not true. The Rav my kamashman, because mecha shalom b'fan of habim mecha ha'amar Rav kadazimna. We already know that Rav is an advocate of the view the mecha shalom b'fan of habim mecha. Ela kamashman, this is very important. Afilu micha b'fnei shnayim she'ein yicholim lomar lo habim mecha. The Gemara says the chiddush here is the following. Let's say you're mecha shalom b'fan of. So everybody agrees that mecha shalom b'fan of habim mecha, right? But let's say you chose for your edim on this mecha two individuals who don't have the ability to travel to the machzik. B'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'ein mecholim lomar. It's kainim or somebody chigrim, right? Somebody who doesn't have the physical ability. What?
They're in jail.
They're in jail. Exactly. What will happen in that case? That's the issue. So what we're saying for Rav is no, even though it's nichsei boreach. So somebody will try to explain. What does that do in nichsei boreach? Sounds like a strange ekatimtzi, right?
He doesn't know where he is.
Exactly. So the Ramban says, no, this isn't such a, it's not like a contorted ekatimtzi. This makes sense. He's a fugitive, and he wants to keep a low profile. So not only is he not going to go back to the scene of the crime, or the scene, I shouldn't be blaming this anonymous fellow. Maybe he's a fugitive, but he's an innocent fugitive. Not only is he not going to go back to the place where he has problems, he also doesn't want his present location, he wants it to remain undisclosed, put it that way. So therefore, if he has to be mocha, what does he do? You know, either he blindfolds his audience and he, you know, spins them around a little bit, you know, or he's mocha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam, just let themselves einim mecholim lo malo, so that they'll have to use an extensive chabra, right, and you know, the machzik or the people back home are never meeting the people who actually met this boreach, this fugitive. That's the explanation of the Ramban. Earlier the Rabbi Gash actually already said it. That's very important. We'll see in a moment that explanation is important for another reason. Okay. The Amarav Anam Ludidim Farshali Mine, the Mar Shmuel, Micha Bifne Shne Bin Adam Che Cholim Lo Marlo, Hava Mecha. This in fact is a debate between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel is of the opinion that if you're mocha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'ein yecholim lo marlo, it's not a proper mecha. It's an interesting argument which we're going to analyze. But Rav, what does Rav say about all this? Rav says, chabrach, chabra islay. The chabra islay. Even if you're mocha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'ein yecholim lo marlo, they themselves cannot transmit this message. It still works because of the network of chabra. So then the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Hilchasa ein machzikim b'nichsei boreach. We paskin that you cannot be machzik b'nichsei boreach. U'mecha shelo b'fanav hava mecha. Tartalo kasha, this is not a stira. Kan debareach machmas mamon, kan debareach machmas martin. There's a difference, what kind of fugitive are you? If you're a fugitive machmas mamon, so you're not going to go back, to the jurisdiction where they can, impound your property and so on, but you're not going to have to take such extraordinary steps, to keep your presence, in a different location, a complete secret, and therefore you can be mocha shalom b'fanav. But if it's bereach machmas mardin, you don't know what, you don't want anybody to know that you're even in that town or in that part of the country. The stakes are too high, and therefore, even though mocha shalom b'fanav have a mocha, this would be considered a chazaka shelo nitenes le mocha. Fascinating gemara.
The mocha of the shnayim. They're not
aided,
but they have to have their monas. Because the Chavra, he has to be accepted. He says, this guy can't believe anything he says.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to get to that. That's a very important issue. For example, what would be the halacha if he was mocha, not the Pnei Shayim, but the Pnei Shayim ze halacha ze? One and then another one. It is Mukhajas. So we'll see in the sheet I have, that's a Chuvas Arajba, which we'll discuss. Or let's say it was a Mokha B'fanav. Do you still need to? Or let's say the guy admits that you were Mokha B'fanav. So we'll get back to that. Those are very important issues. Very, very... It's good that you brought it up. Eidus Mechedes doesn't work by Nefashos. It usually works by Mominus. The Rajba here has a tshuva. Again, I'm not ready to read it yet, but the one on the second page here of the new sheets... see, Shuta Rajba Chelik Beis Simin Sadi. I'll just read you the Sheila. Mecha b'fnei echad eina klo. B'fnei shnayim zechar zeh toch gimel ma'u sheit starfu. So you're right. Normally, the Mamanus, the answer is yes. Why no here? So we'll get to it. Why this should be possibly an exception. Okay. Anyways. So this is a really interesting question. This argument about mecha b'fnei shnayim she'ein yecholim lo ma'lo. What's going on? What's the problem with that? What's the difficulty? So number one, if you look at the sheet for a moment, look at the Ritva. The Ritva has an interesting horror. Rav, who says it's no problem, says why? Why is it no problem? Because Chavra Islay, they can't transmit the message, but they can gossip as well as anybody else. Right? Or I shouldn't say gossip, because in this case maybe it's a good thing. Right? They can communicate as well as anybody else. So Chavra will work. And what about Shmuel? What does he think? Shmuel denies Chavra Chavra. Right? Is that what's going on here? The problem with saying that Shmuel denies Chavra Chavra is that everybody agrees, Shmuel agrees too, that if you're Mochesh Shalom B'fnei Abaylim, right? B'fnei B'nei Adam She'icholim Lo Marlo, you'll be fine. Let's have a different city. Right, I get able-bodied, people to hear my mecha. It's not the fun of shalomatzik, right? It works. Why does it work? Presumably, we'll see in a moment. Everybody agrees, but presumably because of kavra chavra islay. So the Gemara here says, Rav says you can even use b'nei adam she'ein yecholim lo malo because kavra chavra islay. But Shmuel also agrees Chavra Chavra Islay. So what's going on here? What's the issue? So the Ritva has a very interesting... was bothered by this question. Look at the Ritva Chidusha page 2 here. Not the last Ritva, but the next to last. We'll get the last one in a second. He says, La Fuke Midi Shmuel. When the Gemara says Chavra Chavra Islay, La Fuke Midi Shmuel. Dam Ravanan B'chulei B'rav Chavra Islay B'chulei B'im Tomar. Well, the Shmuel, he lays like time of the Chavrach, heicha have a mecha shelo b'fanav, mecha b'alma. How does long distance mecha ever work if Chavra Chavra isn't effective? But if Chavra Chavra is effective, why doesn't he agree with Rav that it even Pnei B'nei Adam Shein Yecholim Lo Ma'lo? So the Ritva says an important chiddush. Yishlomar, Shaini Hacha, the Kivin the Chazu Zakenim, the Cholim, Elu she'ina mocha ela b'fneihem svurim dekapidu legamri uki'ila amar lahem lo tafiku lechushuta hopefully in a couple of minutes we'll get to the Gemara in Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara has this circumstance. Actually, no, let's look at it very quickly. Let's just read a little bit more into the Gemara to the next two dots, and we'll see what I mean. The Gemara says, Heichid Dami Mecha. Right, what is a Mecha? Okay, then I'm just continuing where we were. Three lines from the bottom of Lamed Ches on the Beis. Heichid Dami Mecha. Amrav Zvid, a Mecha constitutes the following formulation. Planya Gazlanahu, Lo Ava Mecha. You just say, X, the guy in my field, he's a Gazlan. That's not a Mecha. Right? The formal complaint that the Gemara quotes here has three components. A, he's a Gazlan. Right? The Gavra. B, why is he a Gazlan? He's involved in an act of Gzela. The Nokit Ba'aroi La'aroi Begazlanusa. Three, I intend to take legal action, right? I'm on the phone with my lawyer, Lemachar Tavandale Bedina. I'm going to get back to this. I just want to get a little bit in the Gemara for a second, but we'll get back to this a little bit later on, or if we don't get to it today, the next week. You really have to have these three components and this Nusach, or this is kind of just broad strokes? Okay? Very important question. How formalistic is this Mecha? Put it this way. The more you look at Mecha itself as a Chiddush, breaking up a Chazaka, the more, you know, the T's have to be crossed and the I's have to be dotted. You have to be really careful about the construction of the Mecha. It has to be properly formulated. If, on the other hand, Mecha is accomplishing an informal simply establishing that the Barakama is not silent, why do we really need a Nusach HaMecha? So we're going to back to that. Yeah.
Well, that was a really good question. Mecha is just taught.
Yeah.
And I mean,
well, that's a question.
On the theory that taught is cheap, but that actions count. So just because you don't put to aid him, so what?
Well, it's not so cheap. Right, but it's not so cheap, as we'll soon explain more fully. I mean, it depends whether cheap talk, you know, can break up a chazaka. Depends how significant the chazaka is. That's partly what we're talking about. But is the talk so cheap? That's another question. Meaning, you have to understand that this person, by making a mecha, in theory, is also putting his own reputation on the line. Now, if I publicly accuse him of trespass, I didn't sell him the property. He's a thief and he's trespassing, right? And then he pulls out a shtar or edim, then there's my reputation that's been damaged.
Why don't we make him do the ultimate? Prove your point.
No. If he could, no one has proof here. If we had proof, it would be an issue. No. Marakama has proof that he once was the owner. He doesn't have proof about the issue that they're now contesting, which is that he's presently the owner. Neither of them have proof. Now, the fact that neither have proof isn't counterproof, except on if you say Ach Nishtarech, or if you say he should be objecting. Those are reyesos. But the fact that I don't have a shtar that proves that I'm a present. When I bought the property 100 years ago, I had a shtar. What proves that it's still mine today? That's not a chisaron.
But if you recognize the Gemara Kama, then that itself is a recognition.
It's a recognition that I used to have a connection to the Karka, and it makes me a Baldavar to be able to make this further claim that I still do and that nothing has changed. But it doesn't prove every Gemara Kama in the world who sells a piece of Karka was still the Gemara Kama. Let's say we both agree that I sold you my real estate. That doesn't make me less a Gemara Kama. Just that now, knowing that I sold it, being Marakama is legally insignificant. But somebody else who's still a Marakama doesn't have any more proof about his present relevance than I do when I'm not relevant. That's just the nature of what a Marakama is. Okay, let's continue just for a minute. So the Gemara says, Amar lo temrule Mar. Now the Gemara getting to, so number one, do we have a nusach of Macha? I want to get back to that. Number two, the Gemara says, now let's look at some specifics about Macha. So let's say the Marakama says to his witnessing audience, Amar, lo tamrule, don't tell him. Right? I'm outraged. He's a squatter. I want you to know about it. I'm leveling this challenge. Just don't repeat it to the Marakama. Okay? My. Is that a good macha or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Zvid, Amar lo tamrule. Zvid says, I mean, he says, keep it under your hat. Stifle my challenge. How serious is that? We'll see what the problem is in a minute. But we don't paskin this way. We paskin like Rapapa. Rapapa Amar, Lidide lo tamrule. But Lachrini, Amerlehu, Chabrach, Chabra Islay, Chabra Islay. Meaning, he didn't say, right, don't tell anyone. He said, don't tell him. But you certainly can tell your friend. That's not called stifling. And Chabra Chabra Islay applies. Now, it's again fascinating to raise the question, so what is the argument here? If there is going to be a Chabra Chabra, then what's really the argument between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid? Okay? Omrule, one more second. Omrule, if they said to him, Lo Amrinan Le, right, he told him, he called his press conference, you know, he announced, he said, you know, he's a squatter, go after him. You know, publicize my challenge. And they say to him, Lo Amrinan Le, we're not getting involved. We don't believe you. We don't want to get involved. We think it's Lashon Hara. We're tired, whatever the case may be. We're not doing it. Right? So Amar Rav Zvid, Haka Amrule, Lo Aminan Le. They said they're not going to do it, so it should work. Sura Papa Amar, Lididei, Lo Aminan Le. Lachrini, Amrilu, Chabra Chabra Chislay, Chabra 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 Chislay. Same idea. Except there's a big difference between the Marakama trying to stifle the Macha and the Eidim themselves just, you know, informing that they don't intend to communicate it, as we'll see in a moment. The same exact issue in a more extreme case. Amar Lahu, he said to them, lo tefuk luchu shita, don't tell anyone. Not just don't tell him. Don't let this out of your, you know, this is just between the three of us. Okay? So Amar Rav Zvid, Haka Amar, Lo Tefik Luchu Shuta. He told them to stifle it. Here, everybody seems to agree that this is not a Mechal. We'll see in a moment, the Rashbam Paskins, the Rambam seems to pile, the Rambam doesn't pask in the case of Lifnei B'nei, Shnei B'nei Adam Shein to call him Lo Marlo. One way or another, he omits it. Like a Mishnah points that out. But in the cases that he does speak of, Shulchan Aruch also, the one case they all agree is not a Mecha is this case, where he says to them, Lo Tefuk Lechu Shuta. But Omru Le, let's say they said, Lo Mafkinan Shuta, we don't intend to tell anyone, not just we don't intend to tell him, we don't intend to let this out of our Rishos. Amra Papa, Hakam Rile. Lo mafkin and shuta. Rav Papa says, listen, if they're not going to tell it, then it's not a mecha. Rav Huna Brev, Rav Yeshua Amar, Kol Milsa de Lo Rami Alei Dinish, Amar Lo Avalava Daite. He may say that he's not going to publicize it, or they may say they're not going to publicize it, but the truth is, it's not their personal issue. There's a very good chance that their intentions notwithstanding, they're going to end up publicizing it.
Lashon Hara travels.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is the question. So the Ritva asked the question before. Let's get back to the right. What is this argument between Rav and Shmuel and the guy B'nei Shnei B'nei Adam Shein to call him Lo Marlo? Right. So Rav says it's a proper Mecha, even though Eidim call him Lo Marlo, they can't travel there. And Shmuel says no good. So the Gemara says Rav says it's good because Chaver Chaver Islay. So the Ritva says, and Shmuel doesn't believe in the Chavra Chavra Islay. If he didn't believe in the Chavra Chavra Islay, then Mekosh Shalom Apanav should be no good, even if it's Mepnei Shnei B'nei Adam, Sheicholim Lo Malo. Right? That's a good question. So the Ritva's answer is, to go back on it again, Eshoma Shaini Hacha, the Kiva the causes of Canaan Mecholim, Elu She'ina Moch El Bifneim. If the Enem Yecholim realize, like, why did he pick us? Of all the people in town, he picks us to be Mochem. And they take it as a signal, Svurim, the Kapid Hulagamri, Ki'ilu Omer Lechem, that's how I want to read the Gemara, Lechem, Lo Tafika Lechushuta. He doesn't say the words, not a word of, don't breathe a word of it, stifle it. But by choosing them, implicitly, he's communicating to them, don't communicate. You know, stifle, suppress this information. That is the Ritva's interpretation. The Rama, the Adrama, was bothered by the same problem, but the Adrama says an amazing thing. He says, we don't paskin like Shmuel, who said that Mecha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'en dekolim lo mar lo doesn't work. Why? So the Rama says, because we paskin chaver chaver islay. And since we paskin chaver chaver islay, so obviously we don't paskin like Shmuel. In other words, the Rama understood that according to Shmuel, we don't believe in chaver chaver islay.
We don't pass commercial.
But if that's the case, we don't pass, that's what Rama says. But then they say that maybe it depends on Rav Papa and Rav Zvid. So there are actually people who pass like Shmuel. And they defy that rule because of the Rav Zvid and the Rav Papa. They think it's Abba Hatai. The Tosus here on the top of Lama Tesam and Aleph, you said very quickly, Tosus Rav Papa, Amel Adidelo, Tamer, Lachrini, Tamer, Nir, Lari, Rav Papa, Isle, Shapir, to Shmuel. Right, Amel La'el, Micha b'fnei shnei b'don shnei b'cholim lomar lo lo'ava mecha. Tasa mayri bu. B'chol lev v'zokein sh'olam le'yelech b'mokum sh'muksak sh'am. Aval hacha yelcha l'mokum ha'machzik v'agidu b'nei ha'ir v'yomru. But also the distinctions between the cases. The Rosh disagrees with this Tosas. That's a big issue. So that's the question. Rab Nadini and Rab Shmuel b'momo, not that whole question. But what is the Rama saying? This is the question of the Ritva is accepted by the Rama. But you just can't leave it that way because then we have a glaring problem. According to the Rama, Shmuel thinks Chabra Chabra doesn't work. So why is Mecha Shalom B'fonav B'fnei Mi Sheyachal Lomar Lo work?
That's the question of the Ritva, right?
Exactly the question, right. So what conclusion do we have to reach according to the Rama? That according to Shmuel, an amazing thing. If you're Moche, legally, and there is an outside possibility that this Mecha will reach the Machzik, even though the likelihood that it will reach him is pretty low, it's considered a form of Mecha. What I'm interested in trying to show here is, do we have a formal Mecha where the Machzik is very unlikely to hear about it? And what will be the halakha? Or in the other direction. Let's say the machzik will hear about it, but there's some legal problem with the way the mecha was formulated. Is it possible that that will not be a mecha? What dictates, what determines in mecha? Of three factors. Shtikas marakama, shmias hamachzik, and the likelihood of this mecha being communicated.
There is a big difference between what you say it to who you say it.
100%. So these cases, who you're saying it to, is enormous.
It really
so, like, how do you understand these machloks in the beginning? From Zvid and Rav Papa, they argue in Metzias how likely something is to be heard. If you tell the first guy, don't you say it, but you can tell other people. Does that lessen the? Is it about, you know, 90% versus 40% or 60%? Is that the argument? Or is it a legal issue about the threshold? Do you need 90? Do you need 60? Do you need 40? More to the point, do you need a formal legal mecha? And is that enough? Or you can have good communication but a problem in the legality, or the other direction. You can have legality with poor communication, but all you need is a technical machah. These are the issues. So the Ramah...
There's a Maisa Rishis here. If he wants to make a machah in front of people who cannot communicate...
Maisa Rishis. Okay. So one sec, good. Or if it's not even a Maisa Rishis, but there's another question. Okay. Let's not call it a Maisa Rishis. How sincere is this machah?
Yeah,
the question isn't only the communication aspect of it, but the sincerity of it. So give me one more second. That's exactly what I want to get to. So what I want to say is, firstly, that according to the Ramah, what we've been able to isolate for Shmuel, and that we now pask in it, the Ramah's point is that we don't pask in this way, is that for Shmuel, you can have a machah, which from a communication point of view is weak, but legally and formally, it works. Meaning, if you're mocha b'pnei shnei b'nei adam che'cholim lomar lo, even though chavra islay doesn't work, right? You've still made a proper legal machah, and that's all we care about. But if you're mocha b'pnei shnei b'nei adam che'cholim lomar lo for the Ramah, that's not even a formal legal proper machah, because they can't communicate. If they can communicate it, even if they might not, that's a machah. But if they can't communicate it, even if they want to directly, then legally that's not called a machah.
That goes to yourself.
Right. Even though the likelihood of it getting there one way or another may be the same. So we've isolated the legalities from the practical communication aspect, which is what I'm interested in doing. That's one. Now look at the next ritva. On the next week, Tarts Talmud wrote, Zidra, Papa. So then the ritva said, he changes his whole tune. Rav Huna Amar Kol Milsa De La Rami V'chule V'hilchus HaKibase Mihu Micha B'pnei Shnei B'nei Adam She'en Yecholim Lo Malo. He revisits that issue, right? Gili Loma Gili Milsa Ika. Communication wise it's effective because Kavra Kavra Yislay She'osa Dvarav. But since She'osa Dvarav B'matmunios V'shalo Kedin Mocha V'hain D'lor Mina D'pligio Ad Shmuel. He says, but it's what you said before. You called it a Maisa Rishos, where he calls it a little bit Dvarav Osa Dvarav Bimatmunios Vishaloka Dinmoka. Meaning, if he's telling people specifically who don't have the ability, why is he doing that? He's trying to suppress it because it isn't a real Makah. He wants to be on record, you know, so he can have the advantage of being on record, but that no one should know about it. It's not a serious machah. This is what the Ramban says. If you look on the back of the first sheets for a minute, when the Ramban developed his idea about Shtika Smarakama on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph on page 5 of the previous sheets, so in the very end of the piece, he talks about this question. Look at this, have to remember it. 6 lines down from the beginning of the Ramban. In the middle of the 6th line down from the Ramban. Everybody have it on page 5? V'hadarminan b'micha b'pnei b'nei adam she'ein echolim lo marlo v'lo hava mecha, referring to our Gemara here on Lamed Chesam and Beis. Why does Shmuel say that if you're mocha b'pnei shnei b'nei adam she'ein echolim lo marlo, that that's a problem? After all, why is it a problem? There's still chavra chavra islay, right? Mishum the amina nami. Now, what's he asking? The Ramban has just said, I skipped the first part, but we've done this Ramban. The Ramban has just said that what is Cheskas Gimel Shana based on? Shtikas Marakama. Now, as we've been discussing the factor of communication, the factor of sincerity, correct? The factor of Shmiya Samaksik. Which of these determines? Depends on how you understand Cheskas Gimel Shana. So if you're like the Ramban and you think that Shtikas Marakama, the Marakama silence is the basis. So all you really need from the call is what? A sincere expression of challenge. Nothing more. How effective is it in getting there? That's not his problem. Assuming, but one thing we do need a threshold. Seriousness. Right? So that's what the Ramban. So the Ramban's bothered. The Ramban says, listen, if I'm going to think that Cheskes Kamushon is based on Shtikas Marakama, then how do you explain Shmuel's view that Mocha B'fnei Shnei B'nei Adam Shein Yicholim Lomar is a problem? So it doesn't get communicated in the end. It lowers the Chavra Chavra from 90% to 70%. Who cares? From 70 to 50. Who cares? There's still no Shtika, right? So the Ramban says, Mishum. The problem isn't the likelihood of it reaching there per se. The problem is Mishund Armina Nami Raglaim Ladavar Shemachrolo Uboshe Menu. This is not a serious mecha. He Dafka presents his mecha to people who can't communicate it. The problem isn't the communication and the likelihood of the machzik hearing about it. The problem is we just don't believe that he's acting like an owner. If he's acting like an owner, why is he being mocha b'fnei shnei bin adam dafka shei nicholim lomar lo? So what the Ramban says, like the second ritva, right, what does the ritva say? Osa dvar b'matmunios. Right, it's like a harama. He wants to be on record, but it doesn't prove anything about his real status. When it comes to lo tafiku lechushuta, let's say the guy says, don't tell a soul. So the Gemara says, everybody agrees in that case, there's no argument. That's the only case in the Gemara where there's no argument. If they say we won't tell a soul, or he says don't tell him, but they can tell chabra chabra, there's an argument in the Gemara. Right? If it's the Pnei Shnei B'Dam Shein Yicholim Lomalo, there's an argument in the Gemara. The one case where there's no argument is Lo Tafiko L'Chushuta, where he says, don't tell anybody. So what's the problem? So if you look at the Rashbam very quickly on Lamed Testament base, just for a minute, you'll see we read this actually last week, we were talking about Lashon Hara, you see where it says, Uman Damar B'Fnei Gimel Islei Durava Baravuna, that's two lines down, go to the very end of that piece, the long piece. It says, there are four lines before the end of that piece, at Dibra Maska. It says, Ulatach tiknu lema'arer, sheyimcha bifnei edim, kedei sheyotziu es hakol. Teida, deechad amar lo tafiko l'chushuta, lo hava mecha. What's the reason that he asked in Mocha bifnei shnei bnei adam? To get the word out, says the Rashbam, v'haraya, lo tafiko l'chushuta, the only thing that doesn't work is because that the word's going to remain suppressed. However, according to the Ramban, and according to the second day of the Ritva, there's a better explanation for Lo Tafiko L'Chushuta. Not so much that it's going to remain suppressed, it won't be communicated, but if a guy says, shh, don't tell anybody, there's no Mecha. He's not putting himself on the line. That's not the way Bailan acts. That's words that are cheap. If it can get out, and he wants it to get out, then his reputation is on the line as much as the Machzik's. Because if he doesn't know that the Machzik doesn't have a shtar, let's assume he doesn't know. Right? So if the Machzik pulls out a shtar, the whole world knows it. He's a liar. He said, I never sold him the property. It's a shtar that establishes that he did. But if I'm being, you know, Ma'arer, and to an audience who I swear to secrecy, right, so that 5 years from now, when he probably doesn't have a shtar, I can say, well, I'm on record, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, you know, I made a mecha. That is trickery. That's mabunios. That's boshe menu. So we have two totally different perspectives what the problem is in these cases. Now, of course, the biggest apkamina is going to be the top case that we talked about last week, which is a situation where we know that the Marakama was Moche, and legitimately, in front of Bnei Adam, who are capable of, you know, transmitting, but we know that it's a rare case where the Machzik didn't hear. What happens then? So we tried to show last week, that's a major machlokas. Most of the Rishonim of the opinion that it is a proper mecha because it was a serious mecha by the Marakama, even though unfortunately the Matzik didn't hear about it and didn't have the opportunity to defend himself. But if Shtikas Marakama is the basis, Shtikas Marakama is gone. It doesn't apply here. And we pointed out that the Rambam disagrees. I didn't have the Rambam last week printed. Let me just show it to you now. Rambam says, this is the Rambam Perek, Yudala Palachahe. Rambam says, Haresha, Micha, Shimon, the Medina Rechoka. If Shimon is distant when he levels his Mekah, Mipnei Malo, Yitan Ruben, the Yomar, Lo Shemati, Shemicha, Bi, Kadesh, Yizar, Bashar. Why won't we just have the Maksik claim that he didn't hear the Mekah? So the Rambam answers, again, what's the question based on? That if indeed he didn't hear the Mekah, even though the Marakama made a proper Makah, and what's the halacha? That the Chazaka is going to be valid. Because there's no Isdar and Ispishtare, even though there's no Shtikas Marakama either. That's the question. What's the answer? Mipnesh Omaleo, Chabrech Yeshlo Chaver, Vichaver Yeshlo Chaver, Vichazaka Shigia Elecha Hadavar. The Rambam is just denying the reality. If the reality were true, the Rambam would agree that the Machzik wins against most of the Rishonim, against Rabbeinu Yonah. We saw this last week. Against Rabbeinu Yonah, against Simuka Yosef, against Tosas on Mem Amud Aleph, against the Rush. The Rambam saying no, the Machzik would win. The Kivan She Yodata, he's already made it into a Vadai. You knew Shemicha Bechal Betokim Ushanim Be'emas Hayulach Hashtar. If really you had a star, V'lon Nizhar Tebat Tavsadat Alatzmacha. We don't even care anymore whether you're telling the truth or not. The issue is that you behaved irresponsibly. But Liyatsuya, according to the Rambam, if it was possible to establish a case where we knew that the Maksik didn't hear about it, right? Almost Shitas Yachid and Rishonim, the Rambam would say that the Maksik wins. The Tosrid, which I mentioned last week, says this Gufa depends on the Gemara, whether you need Bifnei Shnayim or you need Bifnei Shlosha. We'll leave that for now. We'll continue with that. I want to speak about the Nusach of the Mekah next week, and then I want to speak about this question of Shnayim and Shlosha and the various other issues. We'll try to finish up Mekah next week, and then we'll go back to Kaftas Sabbat.